18, verse 58. How many of you know we live in a changing world? We live in a world that is rapidly changing, but in this rapidly changing world, there are some things that remain the same. If you believe that, say amen. One of the things that remain the same, the Bible says, Jesus Christ is the same. Everybody say, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you know missions matters to God? It mattered to God when Jesus told the disciples to go make disciples of all nations, and it matters to God today. He has not changed his mind about missions, and we have to make sure that we do not change our mind about missions. How many of you have ever gone through stuff before? Money problems, financial strains that would cause you to question your giving to missions. Listen, he never changes. Somebody say, he never changes. Amen. Glory to God. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. I love this verse in the Bible. This is a verse that we're using in our men's group on Monday mornings. By the way, if you are a male, and if you don't do nothing on Monday morning at 10:30, we'd love to have you over in our men's group in the Life Center. We have a great time. And we're talking right now in a men's group about how to endure ministry, how to not be crushed like so many other people are in their faith, to stay strong in the Lord. And we're using this verse. I'm going to use it a little bit differently this morning as we preach and talk about missions convention. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Somebody say, stand firm. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always. Somebody shout, always. Always. That's pretty good. That was a pretty good shout this morning. Is it warming up in here? It's warming up in here. Can somebody shout, always?
Always.
I'm telling you, I think everybody's starting to feel the temperature rise in this place this morning. Always. Let's shout it one more time. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not. Everybody say, it is not. It is not in vain. Let's pray together. Lord, help us to understand what it is you're trying to communicate in this passage of Scripture. You breathed this word, God, by your Spirit, and you breathed it for a reason and a purpose, because you knew that your people, you knew that your church would be pressed. You knew that your church would be pushed. You knew that there would be things that would move us, but you have given us your word that we can stand firm, that we could never be shaken, that we can be immovable, and that is our prayer today, God, that we would learn and understand what is needed for us to be an immovable, unshakable church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Now, we do live in a changing world. We live in a world that is changing faster now than it has ever changed before. It is interesting when you talk to people who have lived more years. You see how I'm getting better at that kind of stuff? You know, 5 years, I would have said, I've talked to old people. I'm learning. Oh, praise the Lord, that we can all grow, right? As we talk to people that have lived longer and lived more years than we have, what we find is that change is something they have seen gradually. Gradual change, and not always in the right direction, but many times in the right direction. How many of you know there's been a lot of good changes since the time that Irvin was a little kid? For instance, we have, he's calling me to him.
I read the other day where it's only been 69 years since the Wright brothers made their flight that they would land on the moon.
69 years.
Yep.
The first flight to land on the moon. Yeah, that's a lot of change. Changes that some people thought were never possible. Now, not every change is bad. How many of you like running water? Boy, on a morning when there's frost on the ground, there's nothing like being able to get up, walk into a heated bathroom, sit down on a toilet that you can flush. How many of you ever had to walk outside? I've never had to walk out in the cold and go to an outhouse. How many of you know change is not always a bad thing, right? That was a really good change when God inspired us and we came up with the idea of running water. And how many of you like electricity? There's good change. change. And so a lot of the change that we've experienced is not a bad thing. But there has been rapid change throughout the course of life that has been taking us in the wrong direction as well. But even more so in the last 10 years. Rapid change. And I want you to know that is prophecy being fulfilled, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 that there would be an increase of wickedness in the last days. We see this happening. So we live in a very rapidly changing world. Governments are changing. Oh, yeah. The way governments are operating is being changed. I was watching the news, and by the way, I know some people don't think that we need to be news-minded, but I want to challenge you. Start watching the news. Amen. It will really cause your eyes to be opened to what is happening globally. How many of you know there is this thing called the end of time as we know it? There are indicators that the Bible has given us that are signs of the times. And as you watch the news, you see specific things happening that are indicators to prophecies being fulfilled. I don't know if you realize this or not, but Russia is becoming a great power again. In the Middle East, they are really strengthening themselves. I just heard on the news the other day that Russia and Cuba are now working together in Syria in the Middle East. And I know that might not sound like anything to you, but when you are mindful about the return of Christ, you start realizing the things that were spoken of old. Governments are changing. Even in our own country, it is incredible to me that in our own country, there are people, you know, how many of you have been following the story with Planned Parenthood? Selling baby parts to the highest bidder. Mocking and jesting about life. Disgusting. There is absolutely no way that any person with a heart could watch or hear the way they talk about babies and not have your stomach turned. That's right. But did you know that 60%, over 60% of the population of our country still believe that we should fund Planned Parenthood? It blows my mind. It is disturbing to me that with such real facts, videos, that people still disregard. Governments are changing. Religious ideas are changing. You've got major, major circles of faith that are changing their position on marriage because of what's happened in the recent months. Religious ideas are changing, and we need to be strong and immovable. Can somebody say amen? Morals are changing. Morally, our nation is bankrupt, but nobody knows it. Morally, this country is broke. When you can take the life of an unborn child and cut its arms and its heads off and sell them to somebody so that they can go buy a Lamborghini and people not be grieved or sickened by it, there is a bankruptcy of morality in this country. And I know some people don't like a preacher being that vivid, but that is what's going on. This is what's happening. And because there is such a moral decay, a moral decline, people aren't even bothered by it. Why is that, by the way? Do you know the Bible is the standard for all morality in humankind? The Bible is. It's the Word of God that gives us morality, that gives us morals. And as the Word of God has been removed from our culture, there has been a slow deterioration of moral values. Amen. When the Bible was removed from school, guess what happened? Kids had nothing to gauge morals by anymore. When prayer was removed from school, guess what happened? Kids had nothing that would caused them to want to pursue God, that all of that has been taken away. It's been removed from society as a whole, and there's no wonder that there's a decline in morals. I mean, you know, things are openly practiced today. I'm not even talking about the whole same-sex craze that's going on right now. But it's a craze. It's insane what is happening. Morals are rapidly changing. Viewpoints are changing. Climate. I was watching a debate on TV the other day. The question was asked, I'm not going to turn this into a political circus, I promise. The question was asked, what is the greatest threat to America today? You know what they said? Climate change. Climate change is the greatest threat that we face today. What planet are you from? That's what I want. Did you get abducted by aliens in Area 51? Where do you live, man? I do not know where these people come from. Climate change? Economies are changing. Powers are shifting. This is happening before our very eyes. We live in a rapidly changing world. These things that are changing, the shift in power, the economy's changing. These things can do a lot to people. They can scare us. How many of you have sensed that there's a certain degree of fear? People don't want to do the things that they used to be willing to do because they're scared of what's going to happen economically. They're scared of what's going to happen governmentally. They're scared. These things can discourage us. And you know, I got to watch how much news I watch. I got to watch how much I listen to worldly stuff, because you got to balance it all out. And you can sit around and listen to talk radio, and you can listen to the news all day. But friend, that's not feeding your spirit. Even though those things are things that we need to be mindful of, Jesus said, watch and pray. We need to be aware of what's going on in the world. But if all we do for hour after hour is watch media outlets, how in the world are we feeding our spirit, man? How are we building ourselves up on the inside? There needs to be balance. Everybody say balance. And if we don't have balance, we will get discouraged by what's being reported. We can get enraged. I mean, you know, there are times when I get so angry at what's going on. I just want to grab somebody and shake them. And sometimes I feel led of the Spirit to do just that. These things can frustrate us. They can irritate us. They can distract us. They can, and listen to me, they will move us if we are not cautious. These things will move us. They'll move us out of a place of love. They'll move us out of a place of mercy. They'll move us out of a place of grace. They'll move us out of a place of generosity. They'll move us out of where we need to be. And what did the scripture say? Be strong and immovable. See, God tells us in the scripture to be strong and courageous. Everybody say strong and courageous. Not to be scared. Everything's falling apart. God said, be strong and courageous. Be immovable. Be steadfast. Never be shaken. Be single-minded. This is a word that our culture needs to hear today. Be sober. Be sober. I mean, we are a drug-intoxicated country, man. It is insane. I mean, they're throwing pills that... I used to do drugs, as so did some of you. I used to drink alcohol, as so did some of you. But there is such a drug craze in our culture today. It is incredible the number of people that are addicted to drugs that their doctors prescribe. Doctors have become drug dealers. People are addicted to drugs that are as potent and dangerous as methamphetamines, cocaine. You know, I did drugs, street drugs. If you remember, it was several years back, but I shot myself in the leg with a nail gun. How many of you been in this church long enough you remember that? I shot a 2-inch nail into my leg. It rested right up against my femur bone. And the doctor had to do surgery and remove that nail from my leg. I went to the doctor after I shot myself in the leg because, you know, it didn't really hurt all that bad. But I didn't bleed or anything. And I couldn't find the nail. And then I got a little nervous. I thought, I bet that sucker's in my leg. I looked all over the living room for it. I couldn't find it. Didn't hardly bleed a drop. I mean, not even a drop of blood. Happened so fast. And nails nowadays, they got glue on the nail, you know. They're coated in glue. You know that, right? So when they go in, the heat from the friction causes it to help seal it all up. And that nail went in my leg. And I thought, man, I bet that thing just ricocheted off of me. Because, you know, there was nothing there. He just kept right on working. And it was about 4 o'clock when that happened. Well, it didn't really hurt all that bad. I'm serious. I'm not one of them guys. My wife, she can bear pain. She gave birth 4 times, okay? That's something I would never want to do. But I'm looking all over. I'm not seeing the nail anywhere. So as I'm working, I'm thinking, you know what? It was on a Friday. I'm thinking, it's getting late enough in the day that I probably better go get an x-ray. Because if that thing's in my leg, I don't want to go to the ER. So I called and set up a doctor's appointment. I went out and they took an x-ray and sure enough, there was a nail in my leg. That doctor did surgery a few days later. He pulled the nail out and they prescribed me. I took a detour there to get to this point. They prescribed me a pain pill that probably a lot of people in this church have taken. Some probably are on right now. And now you're talking to somebody who did enough drugs to kill a normal person before. And I took what they prescribed me to take. And I laid down on my couch and I told my wife, I think I'm overdosing. True story. I took that pain bottle. I said, I'm not taking another one of them. I don't need that at all, man. I don't need to do that to myself. And this is what's happening in our culture today. There's people, Bible says, be sober. Everybody say, be sober. Be sober. And vigilant. We don't need to alter our minds. Be focused and determined. Never give up. Never lose heart. Never lose hope. I want to read you that verse from the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable. Listen to these words. Always excelling in the work of the Lord. Always excelling. Always doing your best. And listen, doing more than is needed. God says, don't just do the bare minimum. Don't just do what you've always done. How many of you know if we are excelling, we're going forward? If we're doing what we've always done, we're staying the same. God says, excel in the work of the Lord. Always do your best. Keep moving forward. Do more than is required. Do more than what is needed. Being continually aware that your labor, listen, even to the point of exhaustion. Wow. You know, we grow tired in what we do for God. We grow tired of giving. We grow tired of helping others. We grow tired of making sacrifice. And Paul is telling us by the Spirit, Paul is saying, look, never stop moving forward and excelling and doing your best, even when you're exhausted, even when you feel like it's getting you nowhere, keep moving forward. If you believe that, say amen. And then he says, even to the point of exhaustion in the Lord, be continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose. Amen. You know, all these things that are happening in our culture today that are changing, causing a lot of churches to change, causing a lot of people's hearts to change. God says, be strong, courageous, be immovable. Don't be shaken. Don't be moved. Keep exceeding in what I've called you to do. Go above and beyond what you've already done. Keep moving forward. Can somebody say amen? Amen. You know, as a church, what we want to do with missions is take missions further than it's ever been. You look back there, you see our little missions wall that we made a few years back. How many of you want to see missionaries added to that wall? Yes. Not taken off the wall, right? Yes. We have the privilege as pastors to be able to sit and share, talk with missionaries from all over the world. I was on a missions trip not that long ago, talked with a local missionary who said he lost over 40% of his support. 40% of his support. But guess what? He said, I've done more ministry with that 40% being gone in this last year than I've done any year that I've been on the field, because God has provided in miraculous ways. He said, I'm not going to shrink back. I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to keep excelling in what God has called me to excel in. And even when it doesn't look like I have the resources to do it, God's just going to have to provide. Somebody say amen. Always excelling in the work of the Lord. Always doing your best and doing more. Everybody say more than is needed. This is accomplished, seriously, this is accomplished by keeping our eyes on Jesus. You know, you watch too much of the news, you pay too much attention to the stock market, and you're going to withhold. Generosity is going to decline. You start paying too much attention to natural stuff. But when you keep your eyes on Jesus, hallelujah. Somebody say, keep your eyes on Jesus. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, when you stay focused on Him, not giving is not an option. Not giving is not an option. This is accomplished by staying deeply rooted and connected in Him. All the world around us is shifting sand. But Jesus Christ is the solid rock. And when everything is changing around us, when everything is crumbling around us, if we are rooted, if we are established upon Him, guess what? The Bible says we will never be shaken. Amen. Never be shaken. This is accomplished by being led by His Spirit. Do you understand? As we're led by His Spirit speaks to us the truth. Which, by the way, is contrary to the things of this earth, contrary to the things that often are reported, but nonetheless, we want to be led by His Spirit. This comes by walking by faith and not by sight. This comes by dying to self. This comes by constant meditation of who we belong to. Do you realize who you belong to? You belong to God Almighty. You belong to the Creator of the universe. You are a child of God. You are stamped and sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is who we are. And as we meditate upon that, as we fix our eyes upon Him, we begin to excel in things. It comes by allowing His life to flow through us. Your giving is not in vain. Your service is not in vain. Your prayers. Brother, I'm talking to you back there, John Presh. Your prayers are not in vain. And you know, we can pray and pray and pray and not see anything happen. We can give and give and give. And by the way, we do. And we still many times don't see things change. But the Scripture tells us it is not in vain. Every dollar you gave had purpose to it. Every prayer that you prayed had purpose to it. Every sacrifice that you have ever made in the Lord had purpose to it. And we walk by faith, not by sight. What does that mean? It means that even when we don't see results, we believe that there was a divine purpose on everything that we did, glory to God. Your faithfulness is not in vain. Your commitment is not in vain. Your love is not in vain. Being continually aware of this, that your labor in the Lord is not futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Excel. The Bible tells us to excel. One thing that we need to excel in is giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 8. The Bible says, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you. So Paul is talking to this church, and he says, look, I know as a body, I know as a church, you excel in faith. You excel in knowledge. You excel in speech and in love. But then he says this, see to it that you also excel in this grace, giving. Think about that for a moment. Of all the things that churches can pride themselves in excelling in, if giving is not one of them, then we still got some work to do. Oh, praise the Lord. How many of you know giving's not a burden? Paul says, I am not commanding you, but listen to what he connects with giving. This is good. He says, I'm not commanding you. I'm not telling you you have to give, but I want to test the sincerity of your love. Wow. What is giving? Giving is proof that you love. Giving is the evidence that you love. You know, I said last missions convention, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You cannot love without giving. You can't love God the way we should love God without giving to God. You cannot love your fellow brothers and sisters without giving to your fellow brothers and sisters. You cannot love the gospel without giving to the gospel. Amen. Giving is not a burden. Giving is not a waste. Giving is not punishment. That's how some people view giving. And we need to make sure that we keep our eyes on Jesus, because for those of us that are in Christ, for us, we understand that giving is a privilege. In fact, I would challenge you to read the rest of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul is addressing the church in Corinth, telling them about another group of churches in an area called Macedonia who were under severe trials. They were going through great poverty, really an economic recession in their area. And they said to Paul, do not deny us the privilege of being able to share in this opportunity of giving. It was almost like Paul said to them, look, we don't expect you guys to give because you really don't have anything to give. And I know that probably sounds a little bit harsh, but that's really what was happening. Paul said, look, you guys don't have a lot to give right now. And so we don't want to press you to give. And do you know what those churches said back to Paul? Don't deny us the privilege of sharing in this opportunity. And Paul says that as they began to give, that the grace of God began to manifest on them, and they gave beyond their ability. They gave more than was even possible. I witnessed this happen when we were in the Marshall Islands. It was incredible, the generosity of the people over there. Incredible. It made me uncomfortable. They were so giving. And I'm not talking about just help. I'm talking monetarily giving. Every service we walked into, they came up and was putting necklaces around us, just honoring us, everything that we... It made me uncomfortable. Because we don't practice generosity like that in our culture. They really gave beyond their ability. It was funny. They did things exactly the opposite of how we would say you should do things. Don't ask people for money too much. Do you know in one service I watched them take up as many as 5 offerings? In one service. Boy, don't do that, Pastor. Hey, I'm not saying that we're going to start doing that. Just relax. I can see you squirming already. Getting nervous already. 5 offerings, as many as 5 in one service. And you know what blew my mind? I don't want to say every person. I'm sure there may have been 1 or 2 that didn't. But to my estimation, nearly everybody had something to give. It was incredible. It blew my mind. Now, their offerings may not have ended up being $20,000 or whatever. But how many of you know quantity is not what matters? Do you understand? In fact, Paul said it later in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He said, look, if the willingness is there to give, that's all that matters, is the willingness there to give. Giving is a privilege. It's an opportunity. Giving is a demonstration of love. And guess what else giving is? It's a grace. It's a grace from God. Next thing that we need to excel in is love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 says, now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more, to continue to abound even more so in your love for one another. Everybody say, love matters. Lastly, well, how do we excel in love? We'll just stop right here. What do we need to do to begin to excel in love? Well, the first thing we can do is pray for others. When you start getting to a place in your life where you really become serious about praying for people, brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's when love really starts to excel, because you start sharing burdens with people through praying. Love begins to grow. Connections begin to take place. Praying for each other matters. Number two, encouraging other people. Number three, sharing your faith with others. Number four, ministering to others. Just like we did earlier today, God's word tells us to excel in giving, to excel in love, and then, of course, excel in this last one, excel in preaching the gospel. Would you stand up on your feet, please, and just lift up your hands to the Lord this morning. We want to grow in these things. We want to excel in these things. Even though we are doing well, the scripture tells us that we should abound even more in all of these things, that we should abound even more in our giving, abound even more in love, abound even more in preaching the gospel. As we lift up our hands, let's just pray this prayer from our heart. Lord Jesus, we want to abound in every great thing that you have called us to. We want to be strong and immovable when it comes to giving, when it comes to loving, when it comes to preaching. Help us be strong. Help us to be courageous. Help us to never be shaken. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, praise the Lord. Glad that you guys came this morning. Don't forget to continue to pray for our multi-site. And this evening, we will be stressing and emphasizing our home missions, the missions that we support here locally. And if you would like to come back out this evening, we would love to have you and share with you the things that we are doing in our own hometown to minister to those that are in need. God bless each of you and have a great day.